And we'll see how it goes, okay? So what we want to do tonight is address the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek, the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek, from the Ramban's perspective. And you'll take a look at the first Ramban on your page, which is the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bishalach. And the Ramban says the following. He says, V'tam ha'onesh shenena shamolek yosef mikol ha'amim ba'avur ki chol ha'amim shamu vayirgazun u'pleshes adom u'moav v'yoshvei k'nan. Nomogu, mibnei pachad Hashem u'mehadar ga'ono. So the Ramban says, why were the people of Amalek singled out for destruction? Why was their punishment more severe than any other nation? After all, there were other nations, and unfortunately, there are still many other nations that persecute us, that want to destroy us. And basically, I think what the Ramban is implying here, perhaps in not so many words, is the great moral problem that we have in explaining and justifying the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Because the mitzvah seems to be, shall we say, incongruent or antithetical to the moral standards of the Torah. And this is not only difficult for us to explain to others, it's difficult for us to explain to ourselves. So, you know, the first rule here has got to be, the first goal has got to be da malahoshiv l'apikoros, the apikoros that's within each and every one of us. The Ramban says that all the nations of the world heard what happened to the Jewish people, the great supernatural event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the nations were overwhelmed with fear. And that fear was a double one. It was a fear of the people of Israel and a fear of Almighty God who was protecting the people of Israel. V'amolek b'mimerchak. And I would ask you to underline the word mimerchak, because I think it has a great deal of meaning. Many nations will enter into a battle because they feel territorially threatened. But Amalek came from mimerchak, from afar. And what is the Ramban implying by ruling out this justification for Amalek attacking the Jewish people? Well, exactly that, that there was no justification. And we're going to see this over and over again when the Torah says later on, Asher karcha baderech. Baderech means they came from afar. They had no gripes with the Jewish people. The nation of Israel was not in any way threatening them. And then it says, Vayizanev becha kol anech shalim acharecha. It says in Perek Chafemi Sefer Dvarim that not only did they attack the Jewish people by derech when they were wandering in the wilderness, they had no possession of any lands, but not only that, it was Vayizanev becha kol anech shalim acharecha. They basically attack weak people. You know, sometimes you want to, a nation wants to demonstrate its military prowess, so it bullies around other nations. But here they were attacking Nechsholim. There's no way that they could prove in any sense their military strength by attacking weak stragglers. The people of Israel were weak. They were tired. They were exhausted. Is the answer is Lo Yirei Elokim. And the Ramban makes a big deal about Lo Yirei Elokim. The reason why Amalek singles out the Jewish people for annihilation without any justification whatsoever to attack the people of Israel is because the Lo Yirei Elokim. Says the Ramban, Kim is Gaber al Hashem. They want to destroy God. They are so full of their own power, their own self, that they say, who is God? We'll take him on. Let's see what he can do to us. This represents the outright rebellion and challenge against Almighty God. It always occurred to me, Rabosai, that when we recite the bracha after Megillah reading, Harovest Rivenu, Vadones Dinenu, what we're trying to express here is a very profound idea. If you want to judge someone, then the correct word should be Adun Estinenu. What does Adun mean? Adun means I judge. So you have two litigants that are being judged by a third party. What are these litigants called in Halacha? Bali Dinu. When we say Hadun Estinenu, instead of God judging us, he's done. He sits down as one of the litigants, as it were. And why is this? Because anyone who attacks Almighty God attacks his people, and vice versa. Anyone who attacks his people is attacking Almighty God. Unless there's some justification, there's some reason. In the case of Mitzrayim, the Jewish people are multiplying at fantastic numbers. And maybe they will threaten the Egyptian nation. We know this to be true in any society, in any time, certainly in modern times, demographic numbers will create a general, unique, and profound fear in the hearts of the local people. So they control immigration and so forth and so on. So in the case of Mitzrayim, maybe you can find a shemetz, some element of justification. In the case of Amalek, the Torah rules it all out. It's just hatred against the Jewish people, and Dones Dinenu means that God sits as if he was the Baal Din himself. Because attacking the Jewish people is attacking him. Kaviyot. Kimiz Gabra Hashem. Ulekach Omar Bo. And the final description of Amalek is Velo Yorei Elokim. They have no fear of the Almighty God. At any point. The Ramban adds another point. That even the most cruel, immoral people have some compassion for their own relatives, for their own flesh and blood. Amalek is a nin of Esav v'karav lanu. There's a kinship between us. And nevertheless, over misaber al riv lolo. He comes to get involved in a fight, in a battle that's not relevant to him at all. There's no reason or rhyme other than pure hatred. And the Ramban, in his commentary at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze, on the Pasuk of Zohar, Eis Asher Asolcha Amalek, raises the famous question, what's the difference between Zohar and Lo Sishkach? And he goes into a whole presentation about how the mitzvah obligates us to read a parsha in the Torah so that we know and we understand what Amalek perpetrated against the Jewish people, the nature of their evil. We have to pass that on to our children and through all generations until the moment of Mechias Amalek. Vanochon bienai. You'll see this at the end of your second paragraph. Shehu lo marshalo sishkach masha osa lono Amalek. Emphasize the word ad in the Ramban. There are two mitzvahs and they're related one to the other. One mitzvah is to remember Amalek and the other mitzvah is to destroy Amalek. There's a whole diun, a whole discussion based on the Sefer Chinuch who says that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek only applies to the men and not to the women. Perhaps the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek likewise, according to the Ramban, would not apply to women. The reason I suggest that is because the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, according to Ramban, is an introduction to an integral part of Mechias Amalek, the culmination of Zechira. Throughout the generations, is to destroy Amalek. We have to understand why we're destroying Amalek. The Ramban's language is so beautiful. Unesaper zele banenu uledoroseinu lomar lehem kach asalonu arasha ulekach nitztavinu limchos eshmo. We have to be very careful about that tradition, passing it on orally throughout the generations, so that when the time is ripe to implement the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, at that moment, we have the understanding of who Amalek is, the nature of their evil, and why we have to destroy them. Now we're ready to go out to battle against them. So again, Amalek is singled out amongst all the other nations, because the battle of Amalek is against Almighty God. V'lo yare Elohim. No justification whatsoever for his attack against the Jewish people. The Ramban further writes, and you'll see this in the third paragraph on your page, that in addition to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, God Himself promises Ki Macho Emche Zichro, that He will see to it that Amalek is obliterated. Why is it necessary for both man to be commanded in this mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and on the other hand, that God commits Himself to destroy Amalek? Perhaps our mitzvah to destroy Amalek is to some extent beyond our control. What we have to do is destroy not just Amalek, but Amalekus, the concept of cruelty, of hatred. We have to go to the other extreme and manifest love and brotherhood and caring. It's got to be zelu umazeh, one against the other. The ultimate destruction of Amalek will depend upon Almighty God. The Gemara in Sanhedrin enumerates three mitzvos which are activated the moment we enter into Eretz Yisrael. The first is Minui Melech, to appoint a king. The second is to destroy Amalek. And the third is to build a Beis HaMikdash. The Brisker Rav says that all three depend upon a Navi. The Torah doesn't tell us who will be chosen as a melech, nor when is the right moment to destroy Amalek, nor where and how to build a Beis HaMikdash. All three mitzvos are initiated by and defined by the Navi. In the case of Melech, I understand. Asher Bachar Ba'Hashem, who did God choose to be a Melech? We can only know that through the transmission of a Navi. In the case of Beis HaMikdash, we cannot know where the Mikdash should be built, what the plan of the Mikdash should look like. In every single case, we need a Navi. We need Moshe Rabbeinu to give us the plan for the Mishkan. And we need God HaNavi to give us the plan for the first Beis HaMikdash. And Zecharia Malachi for the second Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal tell us that the plans for the third Mikdash were given over to Yechezkel HaNavi. I understand the role of a Navi in the cases of Melech and Beis HaMikdash. But what is the function? Why is it necessary to have a Navi for the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek? After all, the Torah commands us, Timchez Zecher HaMalek. Why do we need a Navi? And the answer, Rabosai, is in the first pasuk of the command of Shmuel to Shaul that we read 2 days ago in the Haftorah for Parsha Zohar. Shmuel says in the name of God, Pakadati. I'll read the pasuk to you, if I can find it, that is. Koh Amar Hashem Tzvakos Pakadati Eis Asher Os Amalek LiYisrael. So the Mefarshim want to know, what is the word Pakadati? What does it mean? Anybody have a substitute? A more common word? In Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh? Correct. Zacharti Eis Asher Os Amalek. In fact, the Torah says, L'man Tizkar. Right? Zechiras HaMalek. How does the Pasuk say? Zecharis Asher HaChosav. So why does Shmuel HaNavi say, Pakadati? Question clear? I just want to say, Shalom Aleichem to Simcha. How are you? Que pasa, senor? Good to see you. I speak to him in Spanish with my, you know, yo aprendo en la escuela dos años, and he talks to me in Mamaloshin. Okay, we'll get this straight sometime. I'll pay you to teach me Yiddish, and no. You'll have to teach me Spanish. All right. Anyway, it's good to see you, and I'm sorry that we had some technical problems.
We still do. You're not moving. That's okay.
What, you don't hear me? The video, so you don't see me.
I see you, but I
said 24. The Malbim is a master at teaching us the meaning of synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. The difference between Yira, Pachad, Chalchola, the difference about Shir, Shemach, and Tishbachos, different meanings, nuances of differences between similar words. What's the difference between Zohar and Pakad? If I want to express remembering the past, a good knowledge of history, what's the appropriate word? Zohar. Zechira means remembering past events. I can remember the sins of old. I can remember the good deeds of old. Does the person or the nation reflect that same pattern of behavior? Lav dafka. When the Torah When the Chazal organized the bracha on Rosh Hashanah, called Zichronos in the Musaf service, and you'll remember, of course, that the bracha ends with the word Baruch Ata Hashem, Zocher Habris. Are we saying, God, we deserve that you remember the bris? Are we living on such a level that, God, we can come and demand that you have compassion and mercy on us? Oh no. Zocher Habris means remember that there was a bris. And that itself should do us well, fare us well on Rosh Hashanah and the Yom HaDin. Even though our present conduct doesn't deserve it. On the level of human beings, we can only say, Zechareis Asher Asolecha Amalek. We do not have the ability, which I want to explain tonight, to judge the people of Amalek of today and claim that they, in their behavior, correspond to what Amalek was when they attacked the Jewish people. What word in Lashon Kodesh means taking the past and comparing it to the present to see to it that they correspond, their mirror images one of the other? That's called pakod. Poked avon avot al banim. What does that mean? If the children are following in the footsteps of their forefathers, then God will punish them not only for their own sins, but for the sins of their forefathers. Where do we find a parsha in the Torah where children die for the sins of their parents? Korach, Vadoso. The Torah says that the earth swallowed up all of them, the whole group. That's called divine judgment. It works with a whole different set of rules and regulations than human judgment. Those of us who are trained in law, in the judiciary process, will find this concept revolutionary. It works with a different set of rules and regulations. It's divine punishment. And that divine punishment is meted out against the people, against the nation, against the group. But the precondition is pakadity. That's why a Navi is absolutely required to activate the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek. Without a Navi, without God transmitting His divine judgment to man through the intermediary of a Navi, we have no right to initiate a process of communal punishment against an entire nation. We have no ability to hand down a verdict of guilty under the law of pakadity. The word pakadity can only be uttered by Almighty God Himself through the Navi. Pakadity means that you, Shaul HaMelech, are looking at Amalek as if it was Amalek of old. It's the same Amalek. Guilty of the same sins. So Shaul is an Iver Chacham. He thinks he's smarter than Shmuel. Shaul thinks that the Navi is, as we'd say, meshing arayin, you know, he's mixing in when it's not his business. Who asked you to define the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek? We have a principle in Halacha, Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover. A Navi does not have the power, the authority to interpret the law of the Torah. The Chachmei Yisrael will determine the law of the Torah. I, Shaul HaMelech, I'm not obligated or committed to stand up and accept the command of the Navi. Because when it comes to the mitzvah HaTorah, it's not in the hands of a Navi to define the mitzvah of the Torah. And therefore, Shaul HaMelech has his own conclusions about Amalek. And the Tanakh says, Vayorev Banachal. Do you remember that pasuk? We read it 2 days ago. Vayovo Shaul ad ir Amalek Vayorev Banachal, says the Gemara in Yuma, Al Iske Nachal. B'shosh Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shaul Lech V'Kises Amalek. Amar Shaul Uma Nefesh Achas Amar Torah Bo Havei Egla Rufa. We need a kapara through Egla Rufa because we found the body of one individual that was slain. Kol Anafashas Halalu. We're going to destroy all the people of the nation of Amalek. Alachas Kama V'Kama. How much more so are we going to be held responsible and need kapara for the destruction of so many countless people? V'im adam chata, behema machata, im gedolim chatu, ketanim machatu. Let's analyze Shaul's method of analysis. What did Shaul derive from the parsha of Egla Rufa? After all, if Shaul HaMelech thought that there was no moral justification for annihilating the people of Amalek, men, women, and children, and every single animal thereof, all their possessions, then he could have said so. Certainly in the case of destroying the human beings, he could have said, Lo Tirtzach. No, he needs the parsha of Egla Rufa. Apparently, even though Shaul believes that Shmuel has overstepped his bounds because Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Davar, but Shmuel does have a pretty good track record, doesn't he? Shaul is kind of caught in a bind here. You know, one side of him says, well, this can't be what the mitzvah is all about. And Shmuel has no authority to define the mitzvah. But on the other hand, there's another side of Shaul's brain, you know, it's the left side and the right side, that says, hey, you know what? I got to get nervous here. If Shmuel is having a nevuah, Shmuel is a true prophet. I am commanded to destroy Amalek. So how to work out this dilemma? And here's where Shaul invokes the parsha of Egla Rufa. I would like to share with you an idea that I heard zillions of years ago from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was a Rebbe in my yeshiva before he went to Chicago. And I don't know if you've ever heard this from Rav Aaron, in the name of Rav Aaron. It's a very famous chiddush of his. When he gave it over, they published it on the front cover of the school newspaper. What's called Hamavaser. That was the name of the paper. Because everyone was like nispoil. See if you can follow the reasoning of Rav Aaron. He says the following. What happened in the parsha of Egla Rufa? The Torah says that the Ziknei Ha'ir have to come down to the valley at the time of the Egla Rufa process, and they have to recite the pasuk Yadenu Lo Shafcha Es Adam Azeh Veinenu Lo Ro. So the Gemara in Sota says, what are they guilty of? Why did the Ziknei Bezdin have to make a declaration of innocence? And they require kapara. And the Kohen is going to pray on their behalf. So the Gemara says, because perhaps the person who died came to visit the city and they let him go without provisions, without lechem and mayim. Ribbono Shel'olam, what's going on over here? The man was killed, he was murdered. He didn't die of starvation. He's not undernourished. He probably doesn't look too good now, but he's got a full belly, as far as I know. So Rav Aaron said the following. The man was starving. He's out there in the wilderness. He's on the roads, barren roads, highways between one city and the other. What does a person do when he's absolutely desperate for food? He becomes what we call in a Talmudic phrase, a listim mizuyon. So he attacks people at the threat of death. If they don't give him their money or your life, so that he can save his own skin. Is he interested in murder? Not really. But there's a parsha in the Torah that lets us kill this person if need be. Does anybody know what parsha I refer to? I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with a burglar who breaks into your house in the middle of the night. Ira, I see you shaking your head. What does it mean? What parsha is it? Do you remember? I can't hear you. Okay, it has to do with the technology. Baba Machteres, is that what you said? Okay, good. What happens in a Baba Machteres? The Torah says that the Baal HaBayis has a natural tendency of wanting to protect his property. What happens when he protects his property and he refuses to allow the Baba Machteres to just take all his possessions away? The Baba Machteres now becomes a rodef. And the Baal HaBayis becomes a nirdof. This slain individual, whose body was found between two cities, was really murdered birshus. Birshus meaning with the license of Jewish law. Because under the law of Rodef, the Nirdof is allowed to take his life if need be, if there are no other possibilities. And what set off this whole chain? It was the fact that the Zikne Bezdin did not guarantee that a wayfarer would be supplied with the provisions and the food and the water that he needs to survive on the road. So there was a whole chain of events that ultimately led to a ritzicha, where this man was killed in self-defense. And yet, for that ritzicha, we need the whole process of Egla Rufa in order to be mechaper for the death of this individual. Did the individual deserve to die? In one sense, he did. Maybe he didn't. Yesh lacha. You could vacillate on this point. But certainly, the act of killing him was not an illegitimate act of murder. The Torah sanctioned that action. And yet, the Torah demands kapara. Says Shaul HaMelech, if I destroy Amalek, as commanded by the Navi, by Shmuel, that is not an illegitimate act of murder. Lo Sirtzach is not my problem. But yet, even when one is allowed to kill, even when the Torah, the Halacha, gives license, gives you a green light to kill, you need kapar. When this individual in the Egla Rufa scenario was murdered, that murder, that ritzicha was birshus. But nevertheless, even a ritzicha birshus requires kapara. Say, Shaul, I'm going to listen to Shmuel. I'm going to destroy all of Amalek. Certainly, the Torah, the Halacha sanctions that because Shmuel has an excellent track record as a Navi. I would be just fulfilling what my duty to listen to a Navi. But nevertheless, I would need Kapara. And if Kapara is necessary for a Ritzicha Hamuteres of one Nefesh, how much more so in the case of an entire nation? And then Shmuel went a step further. And he said, how could we destroy the lives of innocent people? Im gdolim chatu, ketanim aichot. Minors? Little children? Are they guilty? Pakadati es asher asacha amolek? Pakadati? Can you apply pakadati to the children? Rabosi, do you hear me? Joe, do you hear me? Says Shaul, pakadati doesn't apply to children. Or does it? And the answer is that pakadati applies to children. Children will die for the iniquities of their parents only under the law of divine judgment. When the onesh is judged by Almighty God for a tzibur, for a community, for a group, for a nation. That is pakadati. And ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded very severely against Shaul. The Malchus was taken away from him despite all his logical, moral calculations and justifications for not killing men, women, and children of Amalek. And not only was the Malchus taken away from him, but the Pasuk al Titzdak Harbe, Shaul, you think you're such a tzaddik, how can you do this immoral action? That's not tzidkus. And ultimately Shaul does, he commits the most immoral crime of all, if you know what I'm referring to, Nov Ira Kohanim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Al Tirsha Harbe, from Al Titzdak Harbe to Al Tirsha Harbe. Because Shaul messed up, not understanding what the concept of divine judgment is all about. And as I said at the outset, we have to answer the apikoros that's within us. When Rashi says at the beginning of Chumash, Breishis bar Elokim Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, when the nations say, list him atem, you're taking over our land. And the Palestinians say, well, this is our land. And we have to know for ourselves. Listen, my friends, we're not going to convince any of our enemies. The Rashi at the beginning of Chumash, promise me, I promise you, will not do the job against the Palestinians or any of the nations of the world that feel their sense of identification with the enemies of the Jewish people. But what Rashi is telling us is what we have to know about the land of Israel, so that we can live with ourselves. And the same thing applies to Mechias Amalek. And this has to be passed on from father to son through the generations. That when the moment will become ripe, in Mirza Shem Bekarov, when the Navi will pass on and transmit the word of Almighty God that there has been a divine judgment against the nation of Amalek, Pakadati, then, because of the mitzvah of Zechira, through the generations, because we appreciate the nature of the chait of Amalek, we can now implement that divine punishment against the entire nation of Amalek. Would it be, David, If I would show you this guy over here and I tell you he's an Amaleki. So David, I don't know, would you run to get your sword and kill him on the spot right there on Midvale? I don't know. The mitzvah of Mechias Amalek applies not to an individual Amaleki. It's not that David Spiegel is chayv in the mitzvah of Amalek. And not even tougher guys than you. The mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is a mitzvah milchama. It's a battle. It's a war that will be initiated by a melech who leads the people in battle. After he gets the word from the Navi Pakadati. And it's a battle not against an individual Amaleki, but against the entire nation of Amal. That concept of divine judgment did not occur to Shaul HaMelech for some reason. Maybe he knew about it, but it didn't sit well with him. But I have one other question. Why did Shaul spare Agag Melech Amalek? You know the history following World War II, when Nazi criminals, not too many of them unfortunately, were brought to trial. And almost inevitably, they cried, tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. We are repenting. We are disavowing our ways, our immoral hatred. We want to become moral people. As if to say, we're no longer part of that nation called Amalek. We now are doing, we'll call it gerus. Gerus means, in the case of a non-Jew, a gera, Toshav accepts the seven Noahide laws in front of a Bezin Shal Yisrael, and he has a new status. We can give him tzedaka, we can let him live in Eretz Yisrael, whatever the dinim are of a gera Toshav. And this was common. So I want to tell you, Rabosai, what the Jewish view on such a scenario. And it's a parsha in Tanakh. You have to hop over to Shmuel Beis. Who murdered Shaul HaMelech? Do you remember who he was? Ben Nar Ben Ger Amalek. And he admits, he confesses in front of David that he killed Shaul. What does David do? Puts him to death. Why? He's a ger Amaleki. He disavows Amalekiism. I want to be part of a different nation. I want to accept upon myself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Give me a new status. Yeah, there's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, but I'm not Amalek. And the answer is, there's one Avera in the case of Amalek that doesn't lend itself to tshuva, that can never be forgiven, and in the mitzvah Mechias Amalek still applies. Agag says to Shaul, I'm a great tzaddik, I disavow my past, let me start with a clean slate, I'll do anything it takes to become a ger and disassociate myself from the nation of Amalek. And Shaul buys it. Shmuel doesn't buy it. But Rabosai, look carefully at the words, the declaration of Shmuel when he destroys Agag Melech Amalek. I think I may have it here. I don't want to waste too much time looking for it because we're very pressed for time. He says, Kishik el Charbacha, just like your sword has caused wives to be widowed from their husbands, so too I will destroy you, and your mother will be Shakula. You should be left in grief and mourning over the loss of her own son. But Rabosai, the accusation of Shmuel Anovi against Agag Melech Amalek is murder. You, Agag, are a murderer. You have innocent Jewish blood on your hands. Nothing about the fact that he's an Amalek. Isn't that strange? Why didn't Shmuel just declare, I'm going to take you apart limb for limb because you're an Amaleki? Why does it have to be Kishikel Charbacha Noshim? And the answer is, it's undoubt. It's you can't even question it. Agag was begging. He was desperate to save his life at all costs. I want to be a ger. I want to be one of you guys. The answer says Shaul. Based on a pasuk in Tanakh in Yoel, and Novi says, Vini Casey, Domam, Loni Casey. When Amalek has blood, innocent Jewish blood on his hands, Loni Casey, there's no turning back. Yeah, I know the Gemara in Gittin says, B'nei Bonav, Shel Haman, Malamdim Torah B'Bnei Brak. And next time you go to B'nei Brak, you look around and see if you find some of the B'nai Bonim of Haman. But it's possible for an Amaleki to become a ger, but on one condition, that he's not guilty of Ritzicha against a Jew. David HaMelech has the Nar Ger Amaleki put to death because by his own confession, he had Jewish blood, not just Stam Jewish blood, on his hands, but the blood of the anointed one of Shaul HaMelech. There's no return. Such an Amalek has to be put to death. There's no gerus to absolve him from his capital punishment, capital crime. And so too, Shmuel says in the case of Agag, in no two ways about it. Rabosai, the hate of Amalek is not just unbridled hatred. That's bad enough. Rebellion against Almighty God. When man comes to the point where he calls himself the super race, the Aryan race, I am greater than everyone else, and I'm greater than God. The uncontrolled gaiva of the fist that's raised against Almighty God. That is Amalekism. Hatred and haughtiness without any limitation whatsoever. I may have told you the story that I heard once from my father about the previous Belzer Rebbe, Rav Baruch Lerokeach. He once was a guest in a shtetl. He was going through one shtetl, another. He had to stay for Shabbos. There were two balabatim in town, two candidates for the host position. The first was known to be a very important member of the community. He was a Grace of Gvir. He was very machpid on all the mitzvahs. His kashrus standards were super duper. He had only one problem. He was very full of himself. The other Jew was a Pashut Yid, humble individual, Nishkin Grace the Talmud Chacham. He wasn't so machped on Kashrus, and everyone assumed that surely the Belzer Rebbe would choose the former and not the latter. And to everyone's surprise, the Belzer Rebbe, not just so that I could tell you the story, chose to be a guest at the house of the second person. And when they asked him, Rebbe, he's not so machped on Kashrus. So the Rebbe's response was, nowhere does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that I'll stay far away from a treif and yak. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, I will stay far away from a val gaiva. Ein ani v'hu darim b'kfifa achas. We cannot share the same abode. There's not enough room in the house for both of us. And if God says it, then we emulate God. And so we stay away from Valgaif, and the Rebbe decided, I'll decide what I'll eat and what I won't eat in his house, but I can't go to the first fellow because he's a Valgaif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not go there, and I won't go there either. And this, my friends, is really the essence of what the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech is all about. To destroy unbridled haughtiness of man who is so crazy about himself that he thinks he can take on Almighty God. Uncontrollable hatred and brutality. My Rebbe once said that Amalek represents man, Satan. That the Satan himself could somehow be attached to man. That too is within the realm of possibility. And when that happens, we know that it's a mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech. Now, on your page, you will see number 2, Parshas Tetzav. But I'm wondering if, since we got a late start, I don't know how far we can push this. So we have two possibilities. One is that we'll pick this up another time, although there's a great Ramban Kitisa about the Chet HaEgel that I'd like to share with you next time. So I don't know, we may lose it as far as the rest of this page and page 2. The other option is that we all go to sleep late tonight. So what shall it be? Can we get a consensus? By show of hands, I guess. I can't hear a word. All in favor of ending now, let me know about it. We should go on?